belief in God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzeiticha, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt. So we're going to get into a little bit, into the technical aspects of this mitzvah, in the sense of, like, if you look at the grammar, you look at the way that things are phrased, it's a little bit different. It's interesting, right? The Dibrot, in general, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's very, it's present. Anochi is a very present term, kind of in your face. And I am Hashem, your God, right? It's speaking in first person. Whereas it's not necessarily the case in the other Dibrot. And the other issue being, I am Hashem, your God, right? If you are God, there's a famous book written by, it's like a pamphlet, written by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, who was a genius of the previous century, an incredible Torah personality, a philosopher, a mystic, who left this world too soon. He wrote a pamphlet called If You Were God, and it's fantastic. And it basically, you know, gives out a scenario of, like, if you were God, how would you govern the world? And, you know, it sort of explains the way that God governs the world, the way that we understand it, or the way that we don't understand it. Anyways, if you were God and you were going to reveal yourself to humanity, and you're going to say, I am Hashem, your God, that, what would you say? I am Hashem, your God, I'm the one that
created the world.
That created the world, or that created you. Right? Avicha Kanecha, right? I'm Hashem, your God, that created the world, or that created you or something. But it doesn't say that, right? It's, I'm Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt. Asher Tziticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Mibeit Avadim. Very big question there as well. So let's get into it. So says the Kli Yakar. Yesh Machlokes Bein HaMefarshim. There is a Machlokes amongst the commentators. Ki Yesh Omrim. Shirak Anochi Velo Yiyeh Lecha Mipi Agvura Shmanu. For there are those that say that only the first two Dibrot, Bella, if you wouldn't mind just pouring me a cup of water, please. Thank you so much. That only the first two Dibrot were said from God, and the other ones, you know, were relayed, you know, to God, you know, from God to Moshe, and he said, Urayatami Masheshne Dibrot Elu Namru Bilashon Midaber Binocheach, right? It's speaking in a present active sense. Thank you so much. I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt, right? It's speaking directly to them. Ushar dibrot lashon nistar, and yet the other dibrot are in a language of more of a hidden language, more of a removed language, right? A different, not the actual first person present tense. V'yesh omrim. There are those that say, no, well, the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, they were set from God. Right? It's all coming from God.
Amen.
You know what we just did, by the way, by saying amen to that bracha, you just acknowledge that God created the world. Right? Shahakol Nihiyah Bivaro, that everything came about through His Word. Right? That's what we believe. Okay. It is.
Thank you, Jared.
Umasha Amru Daber Ata Imanu Vinishma'a Zeu La'achar Sheshamu Aser Sadibros. And the fact that it says that the B'nai Yisrael say to God, Daber Ata Imanu Vinishma'a, wait, you know what, Moshe, this is too much for us. You speak to us and we'll listen. That was only after the Aser Sadibros. So again, you have a machloket, right? On the one hand, you have those who say that the first two Dibrot were said from God. The next eight were said from Moshe. And you have another opinion that says, no, they were all said from God. And then Moshe, you know, spoke afterwards. That's when, you know, the Jewish people got really scared and they were freaking out. You know, that was after them. Problem is, well, lefi zeh hadavar tzarich veyur. But something really needs to be explained. Lama Namru Dafka Shnei Dibrot Elu Lishon Midaber Ba'ado. The first two Dibrot are, I am Hashem your God. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitichem Eretz Mitzrayim. You're speaking to present tense, first person, right in front. Lo Yiyeh Lecha Elohim Achirim Al Panai. Do not have any other gods on my face, right? On the face of me, right? No other gods in my face. What's the next one? lo tisa et shem Hashem Elokecha lasha. Don't use the name of your God in vain. Right? You see the difference? That there's a problem, right? Because then it does sound like someone else is speaking, right, on behalf of God. So what's pshat? Ulefip shuto, ema milta deshavya letarvayu. According to this, let's say something on the most basic level. Let's say something that sort of speaks to both of these opinions, deshavya letarvayu, that sort of compares both them, that sort of equates them. Ki midercha olam. In general, when you meet the king and you know him, you recognize him, you know him, right? Then you accept that individual as your king. Obviously, a little bit more complicated in I guess the U.S. electoral system, you know, where it's not so plush. You could meet the person, you might not accept him as your king or your president, but it's, you know, reality, right? Reality is, you see someone, you meet him, okay, he's the king. Ve'achar shekibel alav o malchuto. And after you accept the yoke of his kingdom, ra'ui l'kabel mitzvotav. So once you accept, you know, his kingdom, right, you accept the fact that he's the ruler, or she's the ruler, then it's fitting, right? You're ready to accept the mitzvot. That which is proclaimed, or which is commanded through, legislated through his messengers, through his appointed messengers. Or that which he, you know, a personal edict that the king proclaims. Af alpi, even though you're not, you know, in front of the king at that moment, right? The message goes out. Let's use Achashverosh, for example, right? You know, as Purim is coming up. Okay, what Achashverosh is very much about? I'm sorry, Megillas Esther is very much about Megillot. What are Megillot? Little scrolls, little letters, right, that are sent around to all Medinot HaMelech, right? There are people who lived in Shushan HaBirah. Those are people who were Ro'eh Pnei HaMelech, who saw the king, who interacted with the king, who were there, right, in the capital city. And everyone else, right? And they would come. If you'd come, you'd see, you know, whatever. But and then he'd send out proclamations. Here's a proclamation this, and a proclamation that, and so on and so forth, right? That's the way of the world. Right, so even when you're not in front of the king, you don't see the king, you'll accept his proclamation, whether it comes from him or it comes from his appointed official. Who would that would be an example of Haman, right? When he gives Haman his ring, and then afterwards, when he gives Mordechai his ring, right? Oh, you're the point. Here, do it. You're good. Okay. Aval imadayin fe'amelach lo ra'ame olam. However, if you've never seen the king, if you've never, you know, it's sort of like a rumor that there's a king. It's a, you know, it's not an established fact that king is there. V'umusupak v'kabalato, and you know, you're not really sure about whether you're even mekabel this person, because you don't know who the person is, and you don't know it's real. Eichi shma l'shlucho. Why would you listen to his messenger? Why would you listen to his agent, right? To his appointed official, right? You have to first accept the yoke of the kingdom or of the king, and then you'll accept his messengers. Ki ein mishaleach, ein shaliach. It's an important phrase here. If there's no mishaleach, there's no shaliach. If there's no sender, there's no messenger. Can't have one without the other. Kach hutzracha kadosh baruch hu ledaber tchila b'nocheach. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, needed to speak initially in first person, present, here. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I'm here. La'achniso bivrit kabbalat elahuto. To have the people enter into the covenant of, you know, accepting his divinity, his kingdom. Yi'ayin v'ayin yiru'et Hashem kedoshah. For the people saw God eye to eye, face to face, right? Hashem is here. And then after accepting God's kingdom and his divinity, ra'ui lishmoa gam el shlucho asher yavo bishmo. It makes sense to listen to his agent who comes in his name. Ach lefisha amar, anochi Hashem Elokecha asher tzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim. However, the fact that it says, I'm Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt, lo ne'amar asher b'raticha, as we said, and doesn't say, I'm Hashem your God that created you, v'asher b'ra shemayim v'aretz and created heaven and earth, minatam she'ibar b'samuch, which we'll explain a little later, yitzei mizeh, mishpat mi'ukala ta'wim le'mor, what will come out is something messed up, something a little bit crooked, for those who are going to make a mistake. Im timtzei lomar shekeinu, shezeh Hashem asher hotzeinu min eretz Mitzrayim. If this is really the case, that this is the God that took us out of Egypt. Shema yesh Eloha acher, asher ra'anu v'asher bara shamayim v'aretz. But if you think about it, right, there's room to say, we have to leave it to the side, why God said, I am Hashem your God that took you out of Egypt, but he did. We'll get to it a little bit later. So that means, you know, Kenny, you'll miss this and you'll become a heretic, but that's okay. We'll fill you in later and we'll take away. Good. This way you won't know either. Okay, good. We'll get you tomorrow. Yashikov. No, he's Chas v'shal. Okay, he's our tefillah leader. What do you mean? So leave that aside, and he's saying the fact that it says that kind of leaves us in a lurch, because what people could say is, all right, think about it. You're living in a pagan world. You're living in a polytheistic world. You're coming from Egypt, right? There's the sun god, there's the Nile god, there's the this god, the that god. Okay. Oh, I am Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt. All right. Great. Really nice. I'm going to worship you. Who's the God that created us?
Different. Hashem.
Right? Correct. But they don't know that yet. They're not as smart as you are, Jared. They don't know that yet. So what do you do? Because you may have that sort of that reasoning that might stick into your head. Perhaps I don't need to listen to this God. Oh, yeah, it's very nice. Took us out of Egypt. His job is done. We're out. Right? I'll listen to the other God now. Now I need the desert God. By the way, that was also an issue. When the Jewish people are commit the sin of the golden calf, one of the things that Moshe says to God, when God's like, all right, I'm going to destroy them, what does Moshe say to God? Lama, la'alama, yomru Mitzrayim le'mor. Why would he have the Egyptians say, bira hotziyam la'arogotam beharim ulecha'alotam e'al pnei adama, right? Bira'a hotziyam. He kind of like, he got out under Ra, like this, right? They're God, right? Yeah, you took them out, but, you know, you have power in Egypt, but you didn't have power in the desert. And therefore, the Jewish people died in the desert. Like, you were a really good God, you know, in Egypt. You sort of took over the Ra, you know, sector of the world. But, you know, you couldn't do it, you couldn't, you know, have any dominion in the desert, and that's why they died. And what it's one of the reasons why God says, you know, it's a good point. It's a good point, right? Because the point of the Torah, the point of sort of God relaying himself in the Torah is to show, you know, it's a polemic against polytheism. It's to show, you know, that there's one God, right? And God, and he's omniscient and omnipotent. So therefore, Al-Kain Amar Miyad, therefore, right away, after Anochi Hashem Elokecha, God says, Lo yihye l'cho Elohim acherim al panai. Then God says, yeah, by the way, there are no other gods. There are no others, not like me and then another. I'm not sharing this stage with anyone. Lo wrote, she'ein zulato shum Eloah. To show that there is no other God, there's no God other than him. V'im kein, ein atah rashai lishmoa l'shum shaliach. Therefore, you have no permission, there's no... you have no ability or permission or right to listen to any other shaliach, to any other agent. Ki im lazeh shaluach meiti. Only the agent that comes straight from me. Interesting. Why is the Kli Yakar saying this? You have no right to listen to any other agent. Only the agent that I sent. You know, personally. What's he doing? What? Good, right. You're talking about Islam and Christianity. Right? Because in Christianity, they'll say, yeah, we believe in Moshe, right? Moses, the Mosaic law. But that's very nice. But then, you know, God had sent another Shaliach. How do we know that? Right? Jesus is another Shaliach. We don't.
Well,
what are you talking
about? Emotion,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Right. Right. So it's about that. That's the point, right? So like that's why in the Rambam in his 13 principles of faith he talks about right that one of the principles of faith is to believe in the Nevuat Moshe Lo Kam Bi Yisrael Ke Moshe right that his Nevuah is true and he's the messenger right and by the way in Islam. Right, so they say, you know, in Christianity, they say that Moshe was replaced, right? Like the Mosaic law was, you know, that was old, we broke, that was the original covenant, we broke the covenant, and now there's a new covenant, a Brit Chadasha, a new covenant, and that's with Yeshu, right? Islam says, no, you guys are all great. You guys, all of these messages, they're wonderful. Moshe is a prophet. Musa is a prophet. Jesus, right? Jesus is a prophet. Yeshua is a prophet. They believe in the prophecy, in the veracity of their prophecy. However, who came? Muhammad came, and he's a prophet too. And he's like, you know, we sort of go with the last one. You know, the last one that came. You know, that's the most important.
And all that.
I can't speak to that. I don't know so well. Right. Correct. Right. So again, we don't believe in any of that stuff. And again, the point being here, Hashem designates Moshe. He's the Shaliach. The Mesorah goes from Moshe to Yoshua to the Zakenim, etc., etc., etc. Right, all the way to until the time of Nevuah ended. Ulufichach hutzrach Hakadosh Baruch Hu litzavot shnei dibrot elu v'nocheach. Therefore, both of these dibrot needed to be in, first person, present tense. You know what I mean? Kidei l'chazek b'libam kabbalat ol malchut shamayim. In order to strengthen the acceptance of the yoke of heaven. V'achar zeh, nichayvu memelu lishmo gam el shlucho. And therefore, once that's been established, that there's a God, and he's the king, and he's the only one, right? And he's the only God. Then he could say, all right, Moshe, you take over, and I'll listen to my assistant. He'll fill you in on the details, right? That's basically what happened. Aval el shlucho medaber b'lashon nistar. You're speaking in a different, not in first person. Avalo yoyachol etzavot shnei dibrot elu al yidei shaliach. These dibrot, the first two dibrot, could not have been told over by a shaliach, by the agent, because his agency. Right? Or the source of his agency was never established yet. Therefore, it can't be that Moshe said the first two dibros. It's a brilliant, it's a beautiful idea. Sha'arei adayin lo kiblu aleihem etz ha-meshalech le'eloha, ve'in meshalech, ve'im ein meshalech, ein shaliach. There's no sender, there's no messenger. V'teret zeh maskim l'shnei adeot. And this answer works for both opinions. For according to the first opinion that said that only the first two dibrot are from God, and the other ones are from Moshe, that's to show you who the sender is, and now listen to my agent. And according to the opinion that says, no, God said all of them, in the first two, still Hashem had to establish himself, right, who he was. So he spoke to them in a more present, face-to-face kind of way. Again, whatever face-to-face means, right, so that they would recognize that he's the king. And after that, right, establishes who he is, right, and what he is to them. So therefore, you have to listen. Even if you don't see me, zulati kol. So what he's saying is that according to the opinion that Hashem spoke all 10 dibrot, it was different. The first two dibrot he spoke, and you could see some image, some tmunah of God, something, some image, some something that represented who and what God was visually. However, afterwards, all you heard was a voice, and you didn't see anything. Afal pisha gamba rishonot lo ra'u shum tmunah. Even in the first two, even though in the first two they didn't see a tmunah, mikol makom hadibur binocheach more al hadibur panim al panim. So he's saying that even though it wasn't actual, right? Because we know, right, you can't see face to face. Maybe Moshe could have, whatever. But there was something. God spoke in such a way that was so forceful, kind of in their face and present and personal and intimate, that it said actually, Moshe Neamar, Panim Bifanim Diber Hashem Imachem. As Moshe says in Devarim, God spoke to you face to face. Now again, he's saying not face to face, right? Because we can't really say that. So it was the way that he spoke in this more intimate, present, personal kind of way. First person. However, the other ones were more of a different kind of figure of speech. To show that he's a god that's hidden, meaning that you don't see God, right? There's no tmunah. And even so, you have to listen to him, right? Because he was there. I could say it's the opposite of the Wizard of Oz, as I was just thinking about, right? In the Wizard of Oz, they get there, right, Lahavdil, and they hear the voice, and they're, ooh, right? And, and then the guy comes out, and he's like, hey, what's up? It's the opposite, right? It's Hashem speaking in a way that they felt that they saw him, that they felt they knew he was there, he was present. And then he spoke to them, afterwards in a more distant kind of way, the trend, let's call it the, there's a sense of, the imminence of God and the transcendence of God. Davar Acher, because we didn't get to the answer about the Yetziyah Mitzrayim, we'll get there. Davar Acher, another idea. This is really fascinating. He says, all of the mitzvos and the Aserta Dibrot are a Chobar HaGuf, and they're not dependent on the land at all. Right? There are things, don't murder, don't kill, you have Shabbos, whatever. V'Yisrael chayavim b'hem b'im ba'aretz b'im chutzaretz. And you as a Jew are chayav in them. We are chayav in these mitzvah, obligated, wherever we are. B'im b'zman sh'beis mikdash kayim, b'im b'zman sh'ein kayim. Whether there's a temple or not. Chutz min shnei mitzvot elu. Except for these first two mitzvot. Anochi v'lo yielecha. I am Hashem your God and don't have any other gods. Einan mikayimim. This turns convention on its head. Because of course I would think, what do you mean? The belief in God, the mitzvah of believing in God, that's anywhere, that's everywhere. I can be in the middle of the nowhere. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter whether there's a Beit HaMikdash or not. He's saying the opposite. And this is, again, the Kli Yakar living in, Prague a few hundred years ago. He's saying, no, these mitzvot are different. I'll tell you why. Einan mikayimim ki mizman sheYisrael yoshvim al admatam. Because you can't really experience God's existence if you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, and it's not during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. With God speaking to you directly. It's not, God's face isn't hidden. But once we've been exiled from the table of our father, Az Anochi Hashem Elokecha Einu Mekuyam. This concept of I am Hashem your God is missing. You can't fulfill it. Ki Kfarim Rabbi Seinuzal Shadar B'Chutz La'aretz. The rabbi said that if you live outside of Israel, don't make me keilu Eilu Eloha. It's as you're as if you don't have a God. V'lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Einu Mekuyam. And you can't have other gods also. Basically saying, living outside of Israel, it's like as if we don't have God, and it's impossible to fully fulfill I am Hashem, your God, understanding the existence of God, or recognizing the existence of God, and to not serve idols. It says in the Tochacha, in Devarim, you'll be exiled and you'll serve over there other gods. Pirsh Rashi, mitoch she'ata ma'aleh mas l'chamrei avodah zarah. Since you'll be paying, this is Rashi, really fascinating. Rashi says, you're paying a tax to the priests. You're paying a tax to the church. Who's he talking about, Rashi? He's talking about himself, right? He's living in a medieval Germany, France, and Germany 1,000 years ago. You're paying whatever it is you're paying to the landowner. The church was in charge, right? So you're paying taxes to the church. It's as if you're worshiping idols. It's as if you're serving them. Right? You have this kind of uncomfortable feeling in the Purim story. Right? It's in the Purim story. Where they're at the feast, what are they doing wrong? You know, Achashverosh, well, they say Achashverosh, like maybe he had a god, maybe Haman had an idol next to him, or this, that, whatever. It's compromised. Our ability to fully serve God is compromised. Therefore, these two mitzvahs are specifically said in a first person. For when the Jewish people are successful, it says, I'll turn to you. That's when God is speaking to us face to face. I think it's fascinating to think about this for our generation, right? Who live with the state of Israel. We see open miracles. We see you walking around in Israel and just whatever it is, wherever you go, whether it's Tel Aviv, the most secular city, and you're like 100 years ago, these were tents, and now it's a booming, thriving, amazing, high-tech miracle, or in you're in Yerushalayim, and you're just in a different sphere of spiritual existence, and you know it, and you feel it, and you experience it. We Baruch Hashem, we're blessed to have a space where we could have Anochi Hashem Elokecha in a real way, but we always have to know that it's a little bit harder in Chutz Laaretz. It's a little bit harder living outside of Israel. That's why I always say, people ask me, oh, why the Yontif Sheni thing? They'll throw tomatoes at me. There are tomatoes there. But, I say, why? Because we need it here. We need it. In Israel, you don't need it as much. You're living a Jewish calendar. You're literally living a Jewish calendar. Right? That's the thing. President's Day? It's Lag BaOmer. It's Tu B'Shvat. You're living a Jewish calendar. You're living a Jewish. It's different. We need a little bit more of that spirituality. Yeah. So, finishing up, what about Asher Tziticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim? Skip to the last paragraph. Uma Shenemar Asher Tziticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Below Nemar Asher Barati Shemayim Ba'aretz. Lefi Sheharotze L'Shaker Yachik Eitav. Sharei Davar Zeh Lo Ra'ud. God was being smart. Obviously, God is God, right? God said, listen, right? What do we say? There's this idea in baseball managers or any other sport managers, there's a concept of what have you done for me lately, right? And that's when we recognize the greatness of that individual, right? When they did something wonderful for us and we're, oh, wow, our attention is, it grabs our attention. Look, hey, guys, Remember what happened in Egypt? Remember all of the miracles? Remember all that stuff? And create Yamsa, splitting the sea? That was me. I'm Hashem, your God, that took you out of Egypt. I'm here. Hashem wanted to be as close and personal to them as possible and wanted them to be able to relate to it in the best way possible. And that's why. That was something they saw with their eyes. The Kuzari says this as well, right? That if he would have said, I'm Hashem, your God, that created heavens and earth. How do I know? That's nice. How do I know? Right? So that's why you say it. It gets into something else, but I want to say as well, and this will bring us to a full circle, God bless you, to Shabbos, and that is this, that on Shabbos, what do we say in Kiddush? We're going to say tonight, right? We say, but before that, we said what? Right, so we have Bereshis and we have Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? We have both, and yet at the Aseret Tibur only says one. The idea being that once there's a sense that God took us out of Egypt, meaning, i.e., that God can change nature, that God can perform miracles on our behalf. To save us, that God loves us, that God cares about us, that God cares about humanity. Once that's been established, that exists, when was that established? Bless you. When was that established? At Yetzias Mitzrayim. at the Exodus from Egypt, right? That God's there. He's in with us. He loves us. He could change things. Well, then by definition, what does it mean? That God, if you could change nature, then you created nature, right? If you care about the people, right, and you care about humanity, well, there's a reason why you care about humanity, because the Creator or the Father or the Mother, whoever it is, loves humanity, cares about it, because they brought them into this world, right? So one informs the other. So by definition, just by saying, I'm Hashem and God took you out of Egypt, you are actually also acknowledging, you're able to acknowledge both, as opposed to, if you just said, I'm Hashem and God that created the world, then there could be a sense, okay, you created the world, but maybe you're not involved, that deist, you know, idea, the clockmaker theory, right? You created the world, you created the clock, and then you let it run. No, Hashem's saying, no, not only did I create it, but I care about it, and I'm a part of it, and I care about you as the Jewish people, and that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is such a fundamental tenet of our belief system, because it really encompasses everything, and that's why on Shabbos, we reinforce both Zeichel is Masa Bereishit and Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we zocha to experience the Word of God, to see the face of God, even you don't see His face, but to experience Him in a personal, intimate way into our lives. Rabbi Chanan Kashman, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakos, Es Yisrael, Oficha, Chibbalev, Termitz, Shnemar, Adonai, Chalchitz, Man, Tzidko, Yagdutar,